tricks.
Trump's Twitter trumps tranny twit tricks. Trump's Twitter trumps tranny trick twits. Oh, man. Doing some vocal warm-ups there with the assistance of Donald Trump, the Trump and Fuhrer. All right. Once again, the Great One has thrown himself on a grenade for you people. Once again, you are all ungrateful as fuck. None of you are going to buy anything through the Amazon affiliate link. You're not going to give me Bitcoin. Last time I looked, Bitcoin was at $4,000. What the fuck? No, once again, I throw myself upon a grenade for you. And you're just ungrateful as fuck, aren't you? Ungrateful bastards. Ungrateful. That's what you are. Ungrateful. Either you are wrong or I am right. Do not, under any circumstances, waste 2 hours of your life watching Alien Covenant. Do not do it. You have been warned. It's fucking terrible. Great One, are you going to do an entire podcast talking about how bad this movie is? Yes. Yes, I am. Well, why don't you talk about something important like philosophy or economics or the Charlottesville or the Muslim attacks? You know why? Because everybody else on the fucking internet is talking about those things. That's why. I don't get a bunch of statists killed some other statist. Who gives a shit? That's great. If I could get everyone who voted for Hillary and everyone who voted for Trump to just kill each other off. There you go. There's paradise. The 73 of us who are anarcho-capitalists would be left over, and we could fucking live undisturbed. Of course, there'd be a lack of women. That would be a problem. But no, I'm not going to talk about that shit. I am going to talk about Alien Covenant. I am going to talk about why it was a giant piece of shit. I am going to talk about the death of cinematography. I'm going to talk about why movies just fucking suck. Why? Why? Why did I endure that? Oh yeah, that's right, because I'm once again throwing myself on a grenade to save you people. Hello. Welcome. I am the Great One himself, founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society on the internet since 1999, podcasting for 12 years. 13th anniversary, November the 1st, in the year of our Lord and Savior, the Trump and Fuhrer, 2017. Today happens to be August 27th. In the year of our Lord and Savior, the Trump and Fuhrer, 2017, we are here at the palatial recording studios of the Cynical Libertarian Society. Myself, over there behind the glass, seen and not heard, the way women should be, is the lovely and adorable Randy. Of course, women should also be in the kitchen making me a pie. She is not currently in the kitchen making me a pie. I have to make my own fucking pies because I don't have a girlfriend. I can't figure out why I don't have a girlfriend. Actually, I can, but that's another topic. I've talked about it often enough. And what was the rest of my brilliant intro that I needed to do? Oh, yeah, we are on the interwebs at cynlibsoc.com. On the Twitterverse, which I need to talk about, is cynlibsoc on the Twitterverse. And, of course, you can send me email to God, that's dog spelled backwards, God, at cynlibsoc.com. You didn't see that coming, did you? Total shock, right? Okay, before I spend the entire rest of the podcast talking about why Covenant was a giant piece of shit, let me knock out a couple of quick things. I want to just get this out of the way, and then I got to read to you from this book because I need to take it back to the library. All right. Previous episode, maybe the one before that, I talked about the Twitterverse. I saw some stuff on the Twitterverse, and I was like, hey, guys, I wasn't ignoring you. I didn't see it because Twitter didn't send me any fucking notifications. Because the Twitterverse used to send me notifications when somebody mentioned me or when somebody responded to one of my tweets. And I hadn't seen any of those in a while, and so, well, nobody's responding to me on Twitter, which, I mean, is fine. I'm not really expecting attention on the Twitterverse. I'm not a fucking 14-year-old girl. And so I go into the tweet deck and I saw that there were tweets directed at me that I had missed. And so I just responded to those on the podcast because I feel kind of stupid responding to shit from like June and July on the Twitterverse when it's August. Because it's like, well, that's just the delayed reaction. That's just kind of stupid in my opinion. So after I did that, I logged into the Twitter proper because I thought, well, maybe something happened with my settings. And the notifications got caught. The notifications got turned off for when people mention me or reply to me. So I went into the Twitterverse and I looked around the settings. And I didn't see anything to turn those on. Apparently, maybe they don't exist anymore. I don't know. So I was kind of annoyed by this, but it's social media, so who really gives a shit, and you gotta have low expectations. But I found some settings in there, it's gonna be one of those days. Wait, every day is one of those days. I found some settings in there where it's muting people that you may not like, or was like, what was it, like, not qualified? I don't know, some shit. There was some fucking filter in there that, in theory, was hiding content from my view. Hiding tweets from my view. So I said, well, oh, that's ridiculous. Sorry. Twitter is turned on right now and shit's coming by and all it's going to do is distract me. Let me look the other fucking direction. So anyhow, I said, look, I don't need Twitter to manage my fucking emotions for me. No, I don't want whatever gay-ass content filtering bullshit this is. So I turned all this stuff off. So then I go back in the tweet deck, and I saw there is a tweet, there's actually two of them, in there, which were not there before, because apparently Twitter was filtering these and hiding them from me so as to manage my emotions for me, because apparently Twitter thinks that I'm not capable of doing that. No, I can manage my emotions, and I can absolutely make fun of this person on my podcast. I don't need Twitter to protect me from annoying people. And thus, because Henry Scanlan, S-C-A-N-L-A-N, Henry needs some attention, and so I'm going to give it to Henry. Henry tweeted this back on July the 11th, I'm assuming, I haven't gone to confirm this because I don't care enough to do so, that this was back when I was publishing episodes about the book ADHD Nation and talking about how ADHD is not a real disease and it's overdiagnosed and all this other shit. Henry, in his desperate bid for attention on the internet, sent me two tweets. The first one says, number one, not all children and adults have SCT. I've never asserted that all children and adults have SCT. For those of you who are going, what is SCT? Because you didn't listen to the podcast. I don't remember what SCT stands for, but SCT is the new made-up version of ADHD, which one is that? And that's not the one who affects the... Oh, SCT, I think, there's so many, is the made-up version that if you're not hyperactive, but you still aren't on ADHD medication and therefore need to be on ADHD medication so that the corporations can make money, right? So if you're not hyperactive, well, then you don't have ADHD, you have SCT. That's your problem. Okay, I never asserted that all children and adults have SCT, so I'm not really sure why he needs to tweet that in my direction. Number two, it is a very treatable... Oh, no. It is very treatment resistant. Okay, maybe, but so what? Number three, I have it, so I know it can't be fake. Okay, Henry. Are you a doctor? Are you a neurologist? I bet you're not. Because you have SCT, therefore you wouldn't be able to achieve something like a PhD in neurology or some shit like that, whatever the fuck you get in neurology. I have it, therefore I know it can't be fake. Well, I watched CNN, but I know that it's fake. you do not have it. You may be on medication. You may not be able to focus. You may not be able to pay attention. I don't know what your symptoms are. You may have some symptoms. That may be true. But you have no way of knowing that you have SCT, because SCT, like ADHD, is a made-up phenomenon for which even the experts, as I talked about in that series of podcasts, as was found in the book written by a man who spent great amount of time researching ADHD and was never able to find anybody who could fucking actually tell him what the symptoms of ADHD are, because there are none, because it's made up, right? So when you're telling me that you know this phenomenon, this, not symptom, what's the word I'm looking for? Condition, whatever the fuck we want to call it. Will you tell me you know this condition is real because you have it? No, you don't. Because you can't define the condition either. Nobody can define what the fuck SCT is. SCT is simply being put on some medication by a doctor. It's not like a broken arm. Is there a bone? Yes, you can objectively verify the presence of a bone. Is the bone broken? You can objectively verify the bone is broken or not broken. Okay, no, SCT cannot be objectively verified because nobody knows what the fuck it is. You may have something. You may have a chemical disorder in your brain. The next tweet from him says, I'm an ANCAP too, actually, and ADHD is way overdiagnosed, but please stay away from this issue. You see, I have SCT, and because I have SCT, I don't want you to talk about it. Well, Henry, my ball sack will fit perfectly in your mouth. That's all I've got for you. I don't need your fucking permission to talk about SCT. And I don't give a shit that you have SCT. And why you think you having SCT is a reason that I'm not allowed to talk about it, I don't know. But maybe you should go fuck yourself. All right, we're done with that. Don't need any more of that. Yeah, there's your attention. You wanted to attention whore on Twitter. There's your attention. Are you happy now? Good. Don't fucking bother me anymore because I have shit to do. Like throwing myself on a grenade by watching Alien Covenant to save you people from wasting 2 or more hours of your life. All right, let me read this. Space 1999. As you may or may not know, depending on how long you have listened to this podcast, is one of my favorite science fiction television series. You say, great one. What are the best science fiction series? What should I watch? Here you go. Firefly was amazing, despite Josh Whedon's feminism and stupidity. The original Star Trek, because there is no other Star Trek other than the original. Babylon 5, fantastic. The original run of Doctor Who, up through Colin Baker, back when it was good. And Space 1999. Space 1999 had 2 seasons. The 2 seasons were very different. I've told the story before because they fucked up in the second season and they tried to change the cons. And anyway, it just sucked. And Space 1999 fans, henceforth I will refer to it as 1999. Or just 99. Not Agent 99 from Get Smart, but 99 as in the shortened version of Space 1999, which is a tongue twister. 99 fans usually, not always, but usually fall into the category of those who love the first season and hate the second season, or hate the first season and love the second season. I'm in the previous category. First season is amazing. Amazing. Yes, there are some episodes in there that are pretty fucking terrible. I fully admit this. Second season has a couple of episodes that are pretty good. The rest of it is dog shit. I found, via the library, this book, which is called Space 1999. No, wait, that's not what it's called. It's called The Making of Space 1999 by Tim Held. H-E-A-L-D. And the book was written during the filming of the second season of Space 1999. Tim actually went to the studios and hung out there and interviewed people and watched the process and then wrote a book about the making of this TV series. If the production of a TV series, and of course it's a lot different now because this Space 1999 came out in, when the fuck was it? I would know this if I was a giant fucking hardcore fan, but I'm not that hardcore. So the book was written in 1976, or copyright 76. So that sounds right, because, yeah, I think the first season came out in 74, and the second season was produced in 75. So it's back in the mid-70s. This was before digital, of course, so everything was still done on film. So you would read this book, and they talk about editing film and how they do the sound and all this other stuff. And none of that, of course, applies today. Okay, despite all that, very interesting book, well written and interesting, and he covers all this stuff about what goes into filming a TV series, right? Casting and how scripts are selected and edited, and what happens on the set, and what the director does, and what the director of photography does, and talking about the lighting, and the editing, and all this stuff, all the things that go into it. In the series of writing, in the process of writing the book, he interviewed the actors from the show, talked to them a little bit. And I want to read to you this paragraph. Is it just one paragraph? Yep. I want to read to you this paragraph from the interview with Barbara Bain. Barbara Bain is the wife of Martin Landau. I think it's pronounced Landau. You may know those names because they were on Mission Impossible, the TV series, not the movies, together. And they were a husband-wife acting duo who did a number of movies with each other. Martin and Barbara were the stars of Space 1999. Martin played Commander Koenig, and Barbara played Dr. Helena Russell. So he's interviewing the actors, and this is blah, 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 Barbara Bain, and blah, blah, blah. She does this. Okay, here we go. I'm going to attempt, because we know that I never editorialize, I'm just going to attempt to read this all the way through. I don't even know if I'll need to do analysis, because I think you'll get it. Here we go. She noticed when she was attending dance classes that none of the teachers ever stayed long. They always left for New York. When she graduated, she followed them there. Sociology and its professional application could wait a little while. She was going to dance, and how better than to enroll with Martha Graham? Okay, I guess I have to say, so Barbara went to college. See here, see, I have to put this in. Let's see. Born in Chicago. Where? Fuck. University of Illinois, where she majored in sociology and minored in philosophy. Okay? We already know where this is going, right? Majored in sociology, minored in philosophy. That was me dying. Great, so I take a drink of water so I don't die, and I almost die. Oh, and for those of you, Martha Graham is a excruciatingly well-known and famous dance company out of New York. I've actually worked some shows for the Martha Graham Dance Company. Not in New York, because I wouldn't go near New York. Well, I mean, I might. Anyhow, there's nothing to do with the fucking book. Let me shut up. She found dancing a struggle. It wasn't just wanting to be brilliant and realizing she wasn't going to be better than good. It was the whole climate of modern dance. Quote, "It was exceedingly insular and depressing because we were always dancing for each other. You would go someplace like the YMHA and there would be 500 people up front and 97 of them would be other dancers." Unquote. Besides this, there was the problem of evolving what, in Space 1999, would be called a life support system. She was short of cash, and she soon discovered that her precious degree was not going to bring in much of it. One day, somebody said, quote, "Come and do some modeling," unquote, and she went along and did just that. She modeled for Vogue and Harper's and all the top fashion magazines. Quote, "It was an austere period. So I wore far too much makeup with very dark eyes, and there was absolutely no smiling," unquote. She stuck it out for about 5 years without ever feeling any great sense of satisfaction or even having much fun, and haunted all the while by the realization, quote, "that I could only earn in 1 week with my degree what I was going to earn in 1 hour in front of the camera," unquote. It seemed perverse and insulting that all that work and preparation at school and university would be worth so much less than the good looks, which had nothing to do with anything but God or genetics. Yes, girls, your body is worth more money than your degree in sociology with a minor in philosophy. This was written in 1976, and none of you have figured this out yet. It's okay. Keep going to college, because eventually you're going to find a man who gets a boner thanks to your fucking college education. Somewhere out there, there's a man who's just, "Oh, you have a degree in sociology. Ooh. It'll happen. Keep going, girls." All right. We're 20 minutes into this. Let's talk about how much I bled. Alien Covenant, henceforward, referred to as Covenant, or perhaps Giant Fucking Shitpile. So it says on the DVD cover, "The best alien movie since the original." Stick your finger down your throat. All right, where are my notes? Did I bring my notes? Yes. Okay. The first indicator that something is going terribly wrong is when I have to fast forward, not through just one, but fast forward through two scenes in the first 20 fucking minutes of the movie. The pathetic, I'm going to contrast this to the original Alien. God, Ridley, I don't know what's happened to Ridley Scott. I don't know if he's smoking dope. I don't know if he's snorting cocaine off the butt cracks of hookers. I don't know if he's turned into a social I don't know what's wrong with him. But you could see how desperately he was trying to tap in to what he did with the original Alien. And it failed. It just failed. The music was very similar. The opening credits where the title of the movie was exactly the same thing. He rehashed that. There are all these little things that I, having seen the original movie Alien, I don't know, 50, 60, 70 fucking times, because it's my favorite movie ever, that I noticed, like the graphics on the computer screens being identical to the ones from the original movie. The people saying lines that sound just like the original movie, like when his name is Tennessee. because he wears a cowboy hat, and I guess he's from Tennessee, and just the characters were terrible. There was, when you watch the original Alien movie, the seven characters are very real. There are many things that made the original Alien so fantastic, not just the great special effects, not just the groundbreaking new territory, and you know, the creation of the alien and the fantastic sets and the fantastic cinematography and Ridley Scott's amazing directing. And of course the script was there for all of this also. But the actors have said that of the making of that movie, to some extent, they were ignored by Ridley Scott as the director more than they were used to, because he was so focused on the cinematography and the special effects and all this other stuff that to an extent, they were allowed to run a little more wild than actors might normally be allowed to run. And you can see that in the original Alien, because remember at the time, Sigourney Weaver was a complete unknown. And yes, I know everything about this. You're saying, how do you know? Why don't you? No, I have seen every documentary on the fucking movie Alien. I've read every book. I can fucking just ramble on about this shit for fucking days. I promise you this will not be a 17-part podcast. It won't. Anyhow, the actors got to kind of run wild. Other than Sigourney Weaver, who was unknown at the time, this was her first film, the other six people, these were established, amazing, these are highly skilled actors at the peak of their fucking careers. And they just sort of ran with things and they made it work. And you look at Alien and you look at the scenes where the crew is just interacting with each other, right? They're sitting around the table and just eating food and they're just bantering. And it's very natural dialogue. You listen to that and you 100%, I say you, I should say me, I can't speak for you. That dialogue is 100% natural. It is believable. It's things that people in that situation who have worked with each other for this long of a time, it's stuff they would say. The seven actors bring these characters believability. And you watch the movie and you can pick things out and you can create backstories. But the important thing is the actors never do, and this is probably partially the actor, partially Ridley Scott, and partially the script, because there's, of course, the script shows up, but the script gets modified. They never do over exposition. I fucking despise exposition. Once again, I'm a long-winded motherfucker. I don't like exposition in movies. Go figure. In movies, excessive exposition, period, just fucking kills me. Hey, what is exposition, you ask? Hey, Bob, do you remember that time 3 years ago when Sally stayed at my place and she made a mess? Why, yes, George, I remember. Sally barfed all over your couch. Right? People don't talk like that. People go, hey, Bob, yeah, the Sally thing? And he goes, oh, yeah. That's real dialogue. That's what people say in real life, right? We don't fucking rehash. Every time you see somebody, you go, why, hello, George, my friend whom I've known for 7 years, and we went to college together. How have you been now that you quit your job and you moved to California and you're married to your second wife? Right? We just go, yo, what's up? The fucking dialogue in this movie, it's over-expositional. You gotta dupe my wife, and that's my wife, and what are you doing with my wife, and can I trust you with my wife? Yes, we've established you're all married to each other. We get it. I don't need it shoved down. Hey, titties, what's up? Hey, sugar tits, how's it going? Hey, are you looking at my wife's titties? Really? That's what passes for dialogue? It's fucking terrible. Anyhow, I don't remember what scenes I fast-forwarded through in the first 20 minutes. I just remember I'm reaching for the fucking remote control. I'm hitting the goddamn fast-forward button. because it's just this fucking blah, blah, blah. And it's, again, it's like, if you watch the original Alien, Alien is like the original Alien, two movies. There's the movie before the chestbuster, and there's the movie after the chestbuster. The movie before the chestbuster is, I don't remember, 40 minutes long or something. And honest to God, the fucking truth is, not a goddamn thing happens. Nothing happens. And yet, it's riveting. Visually riveting. You're becoming acquainted with the characters. You're coming to care about the characters. And so when the chestbuster scene happens, you're horrified because you've now become part of who these people are, right? You're part of the crew. You know these people. Covenant tried really hard to do that. So hard that it fucking failed miserably. At no point in this movie did I give a flying fuck about any of these people. There is no part of the Alien that I would ever fast forward through. Not one fucking frame. And I've seen the movie 70 fucking times or 60 times or whatever the fuck it is. I haven't done a notch count. And there's still not a single moment of that movie I would skip. Ridley went so far as, like, some of the scenes, you can tell he's desperately trying to recreate scenes from Alien. Like when they're on, and the whole start of the thing, it's like, oh, we got to wake up because there's this disaster and it's going to hit the ship. We got to wake up the crew. And then the whole thing is like one little sail gets popped off and, you know, all the alarms are going off. And it's you can tell he's like, oh, how can I recreate the scene from Alien where they land on the planet and the shit blows up and everything like that? It's like, Ridley, you got to be original, man. You're trying, as soon as you start trying to remake your own movies, you're just going to fucking fail. Speaking of remaking things, the chick is trying desperately to be Ripley. Honey, I don't know who you are, but you are not Sigourney Weaver, okay? You didn't pull it off. And once again, Sigourney Weaver as Ripley in Alien, she made a journey. She's third in command of the ship, and she's just doing the job, and she's not trying to be a hero. And as things go south, you know, she's breaking down emotionally, and yet she's in command, and she's got to fucking buck up, and she's got to do something. And she makes this journey where she has to stare the alien in the face and fucking take it on. She doesn't want to, but she has to do it. And you see the journey also, the character makes the same journey in Aliens, right? She goes out with them, she doesn't really want to, but she's going as an advisor, she's trying to stay out of trouble, and then things go south, and, you know, Burke fucks it up, and so she's like, all right, I have to fucking do something. And she goes in, and she very reluctantly takes charge, and she fucking makes, and, you know, she finally confronts the Queen, again, not because she wants to, she's going in to get Newt, she doesn't give a fuck, she wants to get Newt, get the fuck out, nuke the fucking place from orbit, and go the fuck home, and hang out with the fucking cat. But no, the fucking Queen has to be there, and she has to fucking deal with that, and yada yada yada. The chick in this movie, who probably has a name, I don't know what it was, and I don't give a shit because she wasn't a real character to me. Right from the start, it's like, you get, oh, I'm the tough girl, and you could instantly tell she was the Ripley of this movie. And when you telegraph that, that's another indicator your movie's gonna suck. Right? When you watch the original Alien, when it starts off, you don't know that Ripley is going to be the one who survives. It could be anybody, it could be nobody. It's not telegraphed. That's another piece of the brilliance of Alien. When your movie is telegraphing who's going to survive and who isn't, you failed. and just the pathetic bullshit. Attempts at, I don't know, technology or science or whatever. Like at one point, one of these idiots says that we have to, quote, go offline and cycle the cells, unquote, to boost the comm signal. Because the people are on the planet and the ship's up in orbit and they're trying to communicate. How does, it's like, okay, I need my radio to, I mean, how do you, what? Go offline and cycle the cells. I'm not sure I believe this shit. Don't you have some extra cells or something? Why don't you just turn the fucking power up? Why don't you hook some more power up? Dude, you're just making shit up. The other hilarious fucking line was I wrote it down somewhere. Oh, they gotta soup up the other landing craft so they can go down and rescue them. And a guy says, we gotta punch through the atmos. You mean the atmosphere? What do you mean punch through the atmos? You mean punch through the atmosphere? No, the atmosphere, it's just air. You don't have to punch through it. Maybe you have to punch through the storm. I don't know why it never occurred to any of you to fly around the fucking storm. Because the storm's not happening down on the surface because people are outside. If the storm was that bad on the outside, excuse me, if the storm was that bad on the surface, how would people be standing outside on the surface without getting blown away or what the fuck ever? So if the storm is up in the upper atmosphere, which is best I could figure out that's what it was because the fucking plot was incoherent, why would you fucking fly through it when you could fly the fuck around it? Well, that would take longer. Yes, but it would be safer. And isn't the point to get down and rescue the people? And then, if you're just flying around it, you wouldn't need to waste time doing whatever the fuck they did to the other landing, because apparently the other lander, well, couldn't handle the journey unless they did some shit to it first. Okay, instead of doing the shit and wasting time, why don't you fly around the fucking storm? Secondly, why did you send out a colonization ship that only has two fucking landers on it? Because one apparently is like a workhorse utility lander. The other one is a person lander. Okay, you got 2,000 people on the ship, and I'll say, why don't you have a couple of extra landers? I mean, could you not afford that? Or did you have budget cuts? I don't know. So they go flying down. All right. So, hey, there's going to be spoilers, by the way. Oh, yeah, and then they pick up this signal. So the chick from the previous, they pick up a signal of this chick from the previous movie singing Take Me Home, Country Roads by John Denver. I mean, really? Why would you transmit that out instead of just, why? They don't pick it up on the space, on the Starship's communications array. This guy who's outside doing a spacewalk to repair the sail, the solar sail, picks it up on his helmet receiver. And by the way, just CGI, oh my god. Well, alright, let me just save the CGI. God, the fucking CGI. Guys, I took a huge bullet for you on watching this movie, okay? Just, I have some anger issues right now. Watching this fucking movie. God damn it. Oh. Okay, so they go to the planet to check out this fucking signal because this chick is singing Take Me Home, Country Roads. What was I even gonna... Oh, alright. So they're going to go down and investigate the signal. So they fly down in the landing craft. And they get down there and they fucking land in this field, but it's like, oh, but the signal is up on the side of this mountain or somewhere at a higher elevation. So they got to go climb to go find it. Like, hey, guys, you're in a landing craft that fucking flies. Why didn't you just do a flyby, go towards the signal, fly by, see where it is? Because maybe there'd be a fucking landing area there, which of course we know there was. But why would you land, whatever the fuck it was, 10 clicks or whatever, away from the goddamn signal and fucking walk to it on an unknown planet where you have no idea what's going on, and you know, let's sure as hell not respirators or anything like that. Let's just fucking open the goddamn door and walk outside, because the atmosphere must be completely fucking breathable, right? Because we did absolutely zero fucking test. There couldn't possibly be any microbes or anything here that might hurt us. No, of course not. Let's just wander the fuck on out onto this alien planet. Once again, the brilliance of Alien is that they did not try to make the fucking planet where the alien was found habitable. They put the people in spacesuits. I understand when you're directing the movie, you don't want to put your characters in spacesuits. You want the characters to not have spacesuits because you want to be able to have them the actors want them to articulate, you know, and all this other stuff. It's just like when you watch a war movie, right? The soldiers... There was that series that was out a long time ago. It was about Vietnam. And the guys I was in the army with, we used to watch that thing religiously and, of course, sit there and point out all the eras. But so it'd show the soldiers in Nam creeping through the bush and they'd be all bunched up together. And it's like, oh my God, no, you don't fucking bunch up when you're in a combat situation. You space out. If there's three of you standing close to each other and somebody fires at you with a machine gun, excuse me, they hit all three of you. That's why you space out. You're 5 meters apart. You're 10 meters apart. Whatever you can be according to the terrain, however far apart you can be and still be able to communicate visually and via words with each other. You space the fuck out, right? But whenever somebody films a war movie, they bunch everyone together because you want as many characters in the scene as you can get. Okay, I get it. You want as many characters in the frame. Same thing with this. When you do science fiction, right, you don't want people in spacesuits. You don't want the aliens to not speak English, right? Because you want the characters to be able to talk to the aliens without all the fucking without the translation stuff. I get it. You don't want the characters in spacesuits because of all the fucking additional problems that creates for the filming. I get it. I fucking get it. And the fact that they didn't do that for Alien is another thing that made the movie so fucking brilliant. They're going out there in their goddamn spacesuits, like it would be in the fucking real goddamn world. And these motherfuckers, we're going to colonize another planet. We'll just detour over here to investigate this signal, pop the fucking door open, and just walk the fuck on out. Because what could possibly go wrong? To their credit, at least they took guns with them. Normally, you'd do that shit in most movies. We'd fucking pop the hatch and walk out and not even take a fucking gun. They took guns. And they took flashlights. That's the other thing. And like in movies, no one's ever heard of a fucking flashlight. It's like, do you not have a fucking... We're going to land on this alien planet. We're not going to take any guns and we're not going to take any flashlights. Whoa. It's like you're a fucking genius. How did you get selected for a mission? I'm going to another fucking planet. When I'm landing, I am taking every fucking thing I can take down as far as survival gear and weapons. I'm going to fucking open that door. I'm going to walk out. I'm going to have a fucking gun in each hand. I'm going to have flashlights. I'm going to be shooting off flares. You know what the fuck is going to happen out there? Unless you read the script. Okay. Then they leave the landing craft, and the captain says to the chick who's staying behind with the landing craft because she's the pilot, he says something to the effect of, follow standard procedures, we'll check it out, keep the doors locked, you know, or keep the landing craft sealed. She's like, okay. And they walk away. And the door to the landing craft is wide fucking open. She's outside. And she's fucking around checking out the ship to see if it's damaged. Which, okay, I get it. You gotta look to see if the ship is damaged. But the door's fucking wide open. Anything can fucking go up in the spaceship. Well, I mean, if you're standing right next to the door, sure. But when you're on the other side of the landing craft... No. Nothing could possibly go inside the spaceship. That could be dangerous. I'll just leave the fucking door wide open. Because that's how we do things when we land on unknown fucking planets. If you watch Alien, they go out the fucking airlock, and they go to, and they didn't leave the fucking airlock open, so shit could just wander the fuck in. And you can see the movie trying to build the characters and build the tension once again the way Alien did. Look at Alien and you will see success. When the fucking chest buster comes out of Kane's chest, it's a fucking holy shit moment, right? You've been building to that. With fucking Covenant, no, it failed. Every attempt to fucking get me engaged in the characters or build any tension just fucking failed. And now, on my list, we come to bad CGI, written in all capital letters with fucking underlines. Dude, the CGI, when they were out doing the spacewalk, I'm like, are you shitting me? That is the CGI-est fucking CGI I've. I could do better fucking CGI with a piece of fucking notebook paper and some colored pencils. That looks like shit. Another reason the original Alien looked so fucking amazing is because everything was real. They made it. I mean, Alien is a movie where the final alien was played by a guy in a rubber suit. And John Carpenter has given Ridley Scott a little bit of crap over that because Carpenter said that, you know, he went to see Alien, he was amazed and all this other stuff, and then it got to the final Alien, and it was a guy in a suit, and he was really disappointed, because John Carpenter is not a guy in a suit kind of person. If you look at his movie, which is also amazingly classic and falls in the same category as Alien, The Thing, his remake of The Thing, you know, he was very adamant, The Thing will not be a guy in a rubber suit. I'm not doing fucking guy in a rubber suit movie. Alien, the effects were astonishing. And there was no fucking CGI. It was all real. The CGI, the whole CGI thing, it's become such a staple that it's just a way of being lazy. The CGI, I'm looking, the aliens are CGI. And I'm just like, this is fucking terrible. It's laughable. The ground party early on after they land gets attacked by some aliens, and they are so obviously CGI. I know this is supposed to be frightening, and I'm just sitting there laughing because it's so fucking ridiculous looking. Do I have, I'll just save it to when I get to it. And the other thing that really stuck out as far as the fakeness, again, once again, we're going to contrast Alien to Covenant. In Covenant, all of the fucking nighttime scenes, which the whole thing seemed to be nighttime, they had that same look as back in the olden days when it was too expensive to shoot at night, so you just put a blue filter over the lens and pretend it's dark outside. That's exactly what it looked like. It looked like fake nighttime. When you watch Alien, they go outside on the alien planet. It's actually not a planet, it's a planetoid. Yes, I know these things. It makes a difference. I know in Aliens it was a planet. That was an inconsistency between the two movies. In Alien, it was a planetoid, not a planet. Yes, I know I'm a total fucking loser for knowing these things. This is probably why I don't have a girlfriend. When they go outside on the planetoid in Alien, it's fucking dark. It's not a blue filter. It's fucking dark. It's like, has anybody who worked on this movie, Covenant, ever actually gone outside at night? I've gone outside at night. I can tell you for a fact, everything's not blue. That's not what nighttime looks like. Well, it's an alien planet. No, no, no. When the sun is up, you might be able to get me to believe the sky is a different color. When the sun is down and it's nighttime, it's going to be fucking dark. It's not going to be blue. Of course, they left a beta male in command of the ship. Tennessee is up. His name's Tennessee. That's what they... Tennessee! Oh, God damn it. See, once again, that's the kind of patheticness. You're trying to convey to me that this character, why, he's a good old boy or whatever. He's got his cowboy hat and he called him Tennessee. And he knows the John Denver song. No, it doesn't work. It does not fucking work. It doesn't work. How does Ridley Scott not know this? How does a fucking director of his caliber not fucking know that that doesn't work? It's just ridiculous. It's a fucking caricature. They leave Tennessee in command up in the ship, and of course his wife is down on the planet, and he's fucking all freaking out because his wife is down there, and he's doing all this stupid shit that's going to endanger the ship with all the people on it. There's a bunch of colonists in hypersleep, deep freeze, whatever the fuck we call it in this movie. He's going to do all this shit that might endanger the ship just because his fucking woman is down there. It's like, dude, if you can't fucking separate your fucking wife from doing the job, you should not be in command. I get it. You love your wife. That's fine. That's only because she hasn't divorce raped you yet. But you do not endanger the entire fucking mission for one goddamn person. Another aspect of the movie that just is a giant boner killer, I mean fucking tension killer, a build-up killer, everything killer. That we know, we just know from the start that the android who they find on the planet, the android from the previous movie, we know the android, David, is a bad guy. Once again, the brilliance of Alien. And this, this has been the thing throughout the Alien movies, is that, Randy, we'll play the closing music and then I'm going to keep talking because I got to wrap this up, but I'm not going to finish in time for the closing music. We're going long. Everyone deal with it. The brilliance of Alien is that you didn't know the company had deliberately sent them in the right direction to find the signal and investigate it. And you did not know that Ash was an android. Since that movie, it has become a staple of all the fucking movies, pretty much, that the company is bad and the androids are evil. Suppose the exception being Bishop in Aliens. But so you know when they find the android on the planet, once again, it's just telegraphed. Oh my God, and the weird homoerotic scenes between the two androids and the flute? Like, what the fuck? But knowing that David is a bad guy. Once again, it's just, there's no tension here. We already know what's going to happen. What's going to happen right now is I'm going to take a short break. You're going to listen to David Gilmour, and I'm going to come back and wrap this up. We are back. The telegraphing of, look, David's a bad guy. Once again, it's like, okay, so there's no, we already know, okay? We know there's going to be an alien that's going to eat somebody. We already know that this fucking bimbo is supposed to be the Ripley stand-in in this movie. Okay, we figured that part out. Okay, we already know that a fucking android is a bad guy. I mean, Jesus Christ. You're sitting down, you watch the movie, you already know what's going to happen. Flute scene, what the fuck? I already talked about that, the homoerotic flute scene. Yeah, I fast-forwarded through that also. It's like, they start talking, it's like, yeah, oh, and hi, and they're like, what the fuck? And I'm hitting the fast-forward, and then I'm watching them play the flute in fast-forward, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? Missed that. Okay, and, yep, shitty blue and orange filters. And then some of the scenes where there was fire or whatever fucking light they had down in the cave or building, wherever. So then they just took off the blue filter and stuck in an orange filter. It looked like shit. It absolutely looks like shit. And again, how does Ridley Scott fall this goddamn far? How did he churn out? Because I was we knew, I said this on the earlier podcast, we knew the script was going to be a piece of shit. But I thought it would at least be visually breathtaking. I mean, this is not at the level of Alien. It is not. Visually, this is not on par with Alien. Not even close. Characters, they're not... I talked about this, you know, and again, I talked about comparing the dialogue in Covenant to the dialogue in Alien. They're not people, they're just these caricatures, and they can't shut up about my wife comments. Okay, this was the worst chestbuster scene ever. When the fucking chestbuster comes out of the captain, whose name I don't remember because it's not like I give a shit about him, it looked like a cartoon character. The CGI was so fucking bad. And the little alien comes crawling out, and it's like popping its little legs out and arms out and stuff. And it was terrible. I'm just looking at this, I'm going, you've got to be fucking kidding me. It looks like a fucking cartoon. The CGI is so bad. It looks like a cartoon. In Alien, the chest buster came out of a guy's chest because they had a hole in the table and a little mannequin and a guy underneath with a fucking alien puppet on his arm and pushing it up through the goddamn hole. And that shit looks real as a motherfucker. A goddamn puppet on a guy's arm crouched under a table. Looks real. Fucking state-of-the-art CGI in a multi... Who knows how many million dollars they dropped on this fucking movie. Looks like a goddamn cartoon character. Once again, not making this up. I fucking looked at that and I laughed. This is not terrifying. This is not astonishing. I am not applauding the special effects here. I am laughing. Alien scared the fuck out of me. Covenant just made me fucking giggle. A goddamn cartoon character came out of his fucking chest. Then, of course, we have the part where the characters are coming in. They're looking for the captain. They got their guns. Thank God, at least they got guns. I give them that. They brought guns. Thank you for bringing guns. They had their guns, but it's like, oh, we have no idea what's happening. We can't find the captain. Oh, we'll look for him. Okay, well, I'll go downstairs and look. Okay, I'll stay up here because we all know when really bad shit is happening and we already know one person is dead and there's these fucking weird animals on the planet that eat us. The best thing we could do is let's all split up. Oh, yes, fucking brilliance. Once again, hey, we're going to an unknown planet. We have no idea. Let's all split up. Let's leave the door to the landing craft open. Let's not take any... Yeah, and let's fucking split up. That's a great idea. Fucking morons. Then Tennessee has to come down to rescue them in the other lander. And I don't know where the fuck he learned to fly, but he sucks. He fucking flew, and it's flying all over, and he's hitting shit. And again, it's like, how is the wind all fucking terrible that you can't fly this lander around with these giant jets, but people could stand outside and not be blown away? And he's like, well, I can't hold this position. Why can't you hold it? Come down, fucking land. They get on the fucking thing. You take off. Yes, I understand you have to have it so the alien jumps on the lander, and then you have to fight the alien on the lander. And once again, it's like, is this really supposed to be exciting? And she uses the crane on the lander to grab the alien, right? Like in Aliens, when Ripley used the power loader to fucking fight the queen. Yeah, it's just, you watch Covenant, and it's like, oh yeah, this is from Alien. Oh yeah, that was from Aliens. Oh yeah, this is from Alien. Oh look, that's the exact same scene from Alien. Oh look, there's this dialogue. Right when they're flying up, T says, quote, walk in the park, unquote. That's a direct fucking line from Alien. Jesus Christ, dude. Could you do anything original in this movie? They're panning through the ship, doing a cut. They're on a table. There's the little fucking birdie that dips down into the drink, just like in Alien. Could you do anything original? I know. Oh, did you think that was cute? That's my question for Ridley. Did you think that was cute? Like having walk in the park and having little and all these little. Do you think those were like homages to your first movie or something? Did you think that was cute? Like people would meet you would sit there and go, oh, look, that was from Alien. Oh my God, that's so amazing. Ridley Scott is such a fantastic director. No, I'm sorry, Ridley. I'm not saying that because I'm still laughing at the fucking cartoon character that came out of this guy's chest. Okay? And the fucking blue filters because I guess you couldn't afford to fucking film your film in the fucking dark. Because I don't know how many billion fucking million dollars. Oh yeah, and then, quote, blow this fucker into space, unquote. I mean, is there any original dialogue in this fucking movie? Oh, Jesus. All right. It's fucking terrible. Guys, I'm just, don't, it, there's no, it, and again, I can't even say watch it because the special effects are good. I can't even tell you that. It's like Alien Resurrection. Oh, God, that was a piece of shit. Jesus, was that a piece of shit. But the aliens were kind of cool. I mean, it's like I would say unto you, you could watch Alien Resurrection, just fast forward through everything where there's not an alien on the screen. This movie, it's not even worth it to watch it to see the aliens. Because they're just CGI. They're terrible. It's a giant fucking piece of shit. I'm completely out of steam on that. I can't even come up with a great way to go out. Other than to say this. So I got the DVD for this from my mother, who sent me a box with some stuff in it. And I unpacked the rest of the box. And I found in the box the DVD for the movie Life. If you don't know what Life is, I only know this because I saw the previews on the internet. Life apparently takes place on the space station. And somehow or another, they get something out of it. It's a meteorite, a rock from Mars. I don't know, whatever. But they get this something on the space station, and there's something alive on it, and it grows, and basically it looks like a remake of Alien. So, I'm going to watch that next. It'll probably be a giant fucking pile of shit. If it's sufficiently a pile of shit. I may tell you about it. So once again, for you ungrateful bastards out there who never give me any of your money, remember, if you listen to the podcast, you don't give me money, you're stealing. It's my Stefan Molyneux impersonation. Once again, I'm going to throw myself upon the grenade for you people. You're welcome.